Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:34 p.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is March 29th. And it was a pretty momentous day on the political front, but a reasonably quiet day in stock markets. And I think the pound gives us a pretty good representation of everything else that we saw today. Today was, of course, the day that Theresa May finally sent the letter to Donald Tusk and triggered Article 50 of the Nice Treaty to take the UK out of the EU. And the pound had largely priced that in, it has been rallying for much of the last month, more because the dollar has been falling rather than the pound rallying. But then it pulled back rather sharply yesterday, and this is not really any new news. Everyone had been expecting this, then the event is largely priced in. The fact that the pound is at least pausing now in the region of the upper side of what is now almost a 6-month range, and I think this incremental progression of lower rally highs within that range, it will not be lost on veteran subscribers that this is still a medium-term downtrend, that we do not have evidence yet that this downtrend has been broken. I think one of the things to really watch will be gilt yields. There is, of course, the prospect of inflation rising. And the fact that gilt yields had moved really quite abruptly from about 0.5% up to 1.6% or 1.5% to be more accurate, and are now back in the region of the trend mean, this is a rather important juncture. The outlook for UK inflation and the extent to which the UK or the Bank of England is willing to allow the economy to run hot, then that is going to have quite an impact on just about everything else, but most particularly the pound, because the only thing that could arrest that medium-term downtrend is a rate hike, and that is not beyond the bounds of possibility, although perhaps not until we have clear evidence of inflation. But we certainly have evidence in the UK that inflationary measures are starting to come through. In the App Store, Apple has raised pound prices by 25% since January, Next PLC, and has committed to raising prices by about 5%, and Primark, which is one of the lowest cost clothing retailers, has so far demurred from raising prices, but will be, I think, raising prices by 5% as well this year. So we do have the conditions for inflation, that you cannot simply have the pound pulling back so violently without there being a knock-on effect on imports. If we are looking for signs of inflation, then the fact that the FTSE remains so firm is perhaps one of the greatest beneficiaries of a somewhat weaker pound and the stock market, because companies get pricing power in an inflationary environment. The stock market generally tends to be a pretty good hedge against inflation. And when we think about the price of gold in pounds, I was looking at British sovereigns relatively recently, and the price tends to be pretty choppy because we're not getting a particularly good feed, but what we can see here is that this is looking to be a first step above a type 2 base, that we've had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And gold prices generally have been firming, and when we look at this chart, we can see that the price is back in the region of $1,250. That was the area at which it encountered resistance 5 weeks ago, and now we can perhaps consider that is a higher reaction low around the $1,200 area. And when we look at the gold shares index, then that was a relatively impressive bounce 2 weeks ago. And so far, the price has held now above that $20 area for GDX, but it does need to confirm that by moving on to a new recovery high. That at least would signal that there are more than simply the most committed gold bugs have a belief that the gold price is in a bull market environment. What if we have ha if we can consider, and I certainly think that was a type 2 bottom in early 2016, a massive reaction against what was a well-developed, relatively consistent medium-term downtrend, then this is right-hand extension. Right-hand extension is a volatile ranging phase that we often get after the massive reaction, and if that is indeed the case, then we can anticipate that there is going to be volatile ranging, and quite possibly we are at the lower side of that range right now. Oil prices were up by about $1 today, and that is at least the first sign that we're getting more than just short-term support in the region of that $50 area on Brent. There is if we get upside follow-through tomorrow, it will have at least broken that progression of lower rally highs just over the last month, and this is the region of the trend mean. It's in the region of a big psychological level. The fact that the Trump administration is rolling back the last administration's environmental laws is of benefit to crude oil. It makes the case for renewables that bit less compelling, and it also raises the prospect that there may be some rollback of some of the incentives that have been put in place for renewable energy as well. That has not stopped Tesla. Tesla's share price really stopped going up when they announced that they were building the Gigafactory. That feels like quite a long time ago now. This has been a very volatile range, but I think bulls will be taking heart from the fact that this has been a pretty impressive rebound over the last 2 weeks, and that it is now pressuring the upper side of the range. And the reason that it went sideways in the first place was because they were committing so much money to building the factory. Well, now the factory is complete, so then there is a potential for some of the massive spending that has been going on to be perhaps or to abate somewhat. A clear downward dynamic would really be required to question that this isn't going to break and sustain a move on the upside. When we take a bit of a step back and we look at Wall Street in particular, the Nasdaq has been really quite firm, and it has pushed back up in robust fashion in here again today. So now it is retesting the highs, and a clear We that was a downside Q reversal that we had at the end of last week. We did not get downside follow-through. A confirmation of resistance in this level with an additional downward dynamic would really be required to question the relative strength of the index. The Dow Jones was in mildly negative territory today, but again, I think it would be more correct to say that it was flat on the day. This has been another relatively mild pullback. Only 500 points on a 21,000 point index. So, and when we look at that on the weekly chart, it doesn't really look like much at all. I think that the most likely scenario is that we do get some additional ranging, that we are due a consolidation, we are in the throes of that consolidation. The most bullish outcome would be that we go sideways and then break upwards once more. I think it will not be lost on anybody that there is an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it is in the region of about 1,000 points. So that represents potentially about a 5% pullback. And when we think about it in those terms, this is really just a period where the reversionary risk is greater, but not really much more than that. There is still a large number of people out there that are anticipating a crash, and I think that is perhaps more an indication that they have been left behind by the what has been a very impressive advance. We are although the additional point, of course, though, is that that is a bullish point. The bearish point is that we are coming towards the end of the most bullish period seasonally, and the potential for a deeper pullback cannot be completely discounted. And what I think people are still looking for is some movement on some of the things that have been anticipated from the new administration. But what they are taking heart from is that we have a more business-friendly administration, and that alone is an improvement. And that is certainly one of the factors that is drawing money back into this market. The German index and has generally tends to do well, not only because it is the leading European economy, but it is also a total return index, and the DAX is now approaching its 2015 high. It is also a little bit overbought in the short term, so we couldn't be that surprised if we get some consolidation, but it certainly continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows, and that was a new recovery high today. Generally speaking, when we think about the broader European market, and more specifically the Eurozone market, it has lagged by a considerable margin over the last during the context of this bull market that has been going on since 2009. So it does have catch-up potential. There is virtually no prospect that the ECB is going to raise interest rates. They simply cannot afford to do that. There are, of course, still major imbalances. That if we look at the DAX and then compare that to the performance of the Italian index, then we get a very different picture. This is still in what is, for all intents and purposes, a decade-long base formation, and it is now rallying from the lower side of that range. Italy is badly in need of some additional stimulus. There is obviously and well-publicized political paralysis there. And of course, we're going to have the French election in the not-too-distant future. And France's market looks really just like the Euro stocks. So, and I think France is a microcosm really for all the challenges that Europe has. And it is also a country that has got some big political questions to answer, but it is also a country that has got a large number of internationally oriented companies, and it also helps to highlight that you really do buy companies, you don't buy countries. Buying countries is more for the government bond markets. When we look a little bit further afield, the Chinese market has been in this rangy environment for quite some time. The Hang Seng, on the other hand, is has I think it you know some of the risk that there could have been an unruly changing of power has been removed over the last few days, and the market is firming from that 23,000 area. It has continued to hold this medium-term progression of higher reaction lows. It's been a volatile environment overall. Another market that had been very volatile, but that has become less volatile of late, is the Australian index, and that did push through to another to a new recovery high in here today. I think Japan is also at a point where it is starting to get interesting once more. It was down very marginally today, but this has been a quite a tight range, and it is now in the region of 19,000, which is the lower side of it. By virtue of going sideways, it is unwinding the short-term overbought condition. Just how well the dollar firms from the region of the trend mean against the yen is going to mean a lot, I think, for the Japanese market. But perhaps Japan gives us a microcosm of what we might expect from the UK, that even though the yen has strengthened up over much of the last 6 months, it went down so much before that the competitive advantage that some of those corporations had been able to capture during the depreciation has not been fully lost, and that the earnings are starting to feed through. With the UK, the pound has been going down for 3 years already. That should be starting to improve the competitiveness, or have already improved the competitiveness of some of those UK companies, and that should act as a medium-term tailwind for the stock market. The other market that is approaching the upper side of a very, very long-term range is Taiwan. And it is now only 144 points away from 20,000. And the 20-year chart is not long enough to show. So we go to 50 years. It has been ranging below 20,000 since 1990. And that is a long range by any definition. And the potential for a surprising breakout, if we can sustain a move above 10,000, is non-trivial. And the other market that has not been getting nearly enough attention is India. The Indian rupee has broken what is a had been a very compelling uptrend for the dollar, and if we zoom in a little bit, then this period of strength for the rupee continues. The fact that you have, if I bring up the government bond, I think we can get the exact yield. Government bond yields are at 6.75% in India, and in a strengthening currency, that's really rather attractive from the perspective of an international investor. The Nifty index is holding here above 9,000, and bounced a little bit in here today. But perhaps the more important point is that it has had a relatively shallow pullback, and there have been a series of shallow pullbacks over the last 3 months. So this remains a bullish environment overall. Two markets that are making headlines, and again on the political front. This is the South African rand, with Zuma threatening to fire Gordon again. You have an upside key reversal for the dollar 3 days ago, upside follow-through yesterday, and it has held the advance in here today. The rand has been one of the stronger currencies over the last year. That's a substantial appreciation from 18 to just about 12, and it's working on a weekly key and testing now that progression of lower rally highs. Upside follow-through next week would break the downtrend for the dollar. And we're going to have an election, excuse me, not an election, a referendum to change Turkey's constitution in the next few weeks. The lira has been among the weakest currencies in the world. It has firmed up a little bit since the beginning of the year, but it has not been able to firm in the same manner that the South African rand did because of all these political questions. And unfortunately, that is the environment in which we are now functioning, that there are so many political questions, and that represents an additional risk. It really does mean that one has to keep one's eyes open and ears open for a number of different factors. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.